Something's moving and something's changing. So there's probably no connection that something moved and something changed today. Now see, we sang this song last week, and the song that Kat sings, something's moving, something's changing, and we've sung it numerous times over the last couple of years, but something about last week just resonated through me, I'll talk about the picture later. I'm sure some of you get it. But here's the verse that came to me as I was putting this very, this isn't going to be long, but I'll say this again, and I've said it before, I love when the Lord just does what he's doing to just reinforce the point that something's moving and something's changing, because what we experience here today is just him just pouring himself out on us, showering us with his love, showering us with his presence, showering us with his power, showering us with his grace, showering us with all that he is, and then saying, come on, just drink me in, because I'm doing something. And it's not just for us to have some nice little experience. He's equipping us and he's empowering us, and he's our word for the year is walk into that increase, walk into the increase, not for us to have all this stuff, but for us to give it away, to pour it out, because that's what he's doing. He's doing this work. But so this verse is from Luke, and it's the context is after Jesus had died, he shows up and starts walking among the few that were walking along this path, and they're talking about what had taken place, and they don't recognize him, they don't realize that it's Jesus walking with them. And So then later they're sitting down and they're at a table, and it says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They knew that it was Jesus. But here's what they say to one another. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And the thing about that just really struck me, it's a verse that we've looked at and you've probably studied and read numerous times before, but the thing about it is, as something's moving and something's changing, his spirit is moving among us, this idea of our hearts burning because he's with us, our hearts burning because we're experiencing his presence in ways that are transformative, in ways that are propelling us, in ways that are at times perhaps uncomfortable, and because we don't know what all he's doing, but it doesn't lessen the fact that he's doing this work. He is the one doing this work. And so my first thought was this song that we sang this morning. I didn't tell Mark sing this song. I didn't talk about what that I was talking about changing atmosphere. Of course, the title, something's moving, something's changing, means the atmosphere is changing. But I had these words up here. This is real. Yeah. This isn't some ethereal thing that's just out there somewhere for us to have some pleasant experience. The atmosphere is changing now because he's in the middle of it. And he always wants to be in the middle of it. And so wherever he is, there's always going to be a move and a change. But this is what we're experiencing. The atmosphere is changing now because the Spirit of the Lord is here. Yes. He's here.
Yes.
He's here. Evidence is all around that he's here. And he wants to overflow and fill our hearts. So I had all the words up here for the song that we just sang. So I'm not going to go through it all. But that's what we're experiencing. And so So that's how I kind of began this week, with that in my mind from last week, that we sang a song, and this is evident, we're experiencing this. I've said all along that this song, I think we sang the very first Sunday of the year as we unveiled our word, Walk Into the Increase, and I said that this idea of the atmosphere changing, we're going to be experiencing over and over and over again, because he's taking us into new arenas and new places and new things. So then this week I got I was invited to go to this thing in Lisbon, and it was I'll just pull out the flyer. It was called Recovery Faith, and it was addressing the needs of people with mental illness and substance abuse disorders throughout faith and the community. And I go, and I knew a few of the people there. Maureen, over here, raise your hand, Maureen. She was part of the panel, part of the one. I don't know if she's the reason I got invited or not, but I went there, and again, faith and recovery, combining recovery for whatever you're recovering from, whatever it is, with faith. And I'm sitting there. This is a government agency, folks. This is a government agency. This is county government, and they're saying, we're tired of leaving faith out of the equation. As we're addressing issues of mental illness and substance abuse and all kinds of other issues, they're saying we're tired of leaving the most important part of the equation, Jesus, out of the equation. And as I sat there, and there were about, 13 or 14 of us there, and just hearing people share their hearts for this region and this county, and I was just reminded, it was like this little timeline going through my mind of just different things the Lord has done among us to prepare us for this day, to prepare us for this season that we're in. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, I still remember the night we were praying for Ken, and we were praying for Randy, both of whom have been public about some of their issues with mental health things. And we've seen in this place, yeah, progress and growth and stability, and I'm sitting there and I'm going through all this stuff, and then I'm thinking of different ones that are in our midst who have been set free from all manner of addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and at one point, I felt like I could have just lost it, with overwhelming sense of His presence, sitting in a meeting at a government agency where people are not going to run away from the very fact that Jesus is the answer. And as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, this is what we get to be a part of. This is the something's moving, something's changing. When a government agency says, we don't want to leave faith out of the equation. We don't want to leave faith out of the equation. We don't want to leave biblical principles out of the equation. We don't want to try to put a Band-Aid on something that the power of the Holy Spirit is able to touch. So, Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. See, that's the answer. That's the answer. And let me just say, if you get a chance, and I'm calling Maureen up and saying, you need to share what you shared that morning. Youth, you need to hear Maureen's story. When you're planning for the belonging, put Maureen on the schedule to be something, because she has a story, and it all points to Jesus. It all points to Jesus, and only Him. We need your presence, Lord. We need your presence. What's awesome about that is He's so willing to say, here, pouring myself out on you. Your kingdom come as it is in heaven. That was Jesus' prayer. That's what he taught his disciples to pray. So he's more than willing to bring it. Miracle can happen now. I believe we're going to have testimonies. I don't know what all. So then I was revisiting this word from Luke when he was at the table with them, and I was reminded of this new thing that's starting in March. If you weren't here, we're starting this new thing in March on Sunday evenings called Come to the Table. Come to the Table. Where we're going outside the walls. It's going to be here, but we're going outside the walls to invite people in. To love on them, to serve them, to feed them, minister to them. But this verse, see, when we come to the table, we absolutely, absolutely, absolutely have to know that Jesus will be at the table and we're revealing himself. Just as he did, he's going to be in the midst of the whole shebang. And some of the people that come are going to recognize him, perhaps for the first time. Just as some of you in this room, over the last year have recognized Jesus for the first time, and you've come into relationship with him for the first time, and you're this walk that you're learning to experience is flourishing. It's flourishing. I believe as we come to the table, and again, whatever this looks like, it's probably only going to be about 4 or 5 weeks initially. And then once this gets established, I don't know, it'll probably just be one of these random things we do here and there. But the idea is when people come together, hearts are going to be burning because he's going to be right there. And he's going to unveil truths just as he opened the scriptures to them and they began to understand things. Just as some of you have begun to understand things as you've opened your heart to Jesus. He opened their minds. Minds are going to be opened as we come to the table. So, if you look at this picture at the beginning, some of you will recognize this. In the book of Exodus, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire. I only had room for one, so I put the cloud to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. Now, I'll be honest, there's times when I wish it were that simple now. All I had to do is say, oh, there's the cloud or there's the fire, and let me just follow the physical evidence. But see, no, when Jesus was getting ready to leave this earth, he told his disciples, no, I've got Holy Spirit that I want you to wait for, and the Holy Spirit's the one who is going to lead you and guide you. The Holy Spirit's going to want to be the one who reminds you of everything I've taught you. The Holy Spirit's going to be one who empowers you. The Holy Spirit's the one who's going to empower the mind to be set free. The Holy Spirit's the one who's going to be the one who sets the addict free. The Holy Spirit's the one who's going to set us free from any sin that any of us deals with. So I was contrasting the word here in Exodus with what I read in John. If you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The cloud during the day, fire at night, whatever. But it's not the cloud, it's not the fire, it's him. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. We have this amazing promise. This is what we're experiencing in greater measure as we gather. This is what we're experiencing in greater measure as we study, as we bow down, as we press in, as we pray, because we're His own. We're His own. And it's not like He hasn't been doing this all along, but there's an increase. If we're paying attention, there's an increase. He lives with you, and He will be with you. So then Paul tells us this, because again, this is again part of this idea of walking in the increases, is part of this idea of He's moving, He's changing us. Paul says, I came to you not with eloquence or human wisdom. Anything we do in 2019, any come to the table ministry, any class we're teaching, the mission trip these guys are going on, whatever it is that we're doing, we're not doing this in our own eloquence or in our own wisdom or in our own power of the Spirit. Now, I said this in my open door class this morning. You know, 2016 or was it 17? I've lost track. 17, I guess. We studied the Holy Fire. And the Holy Spirit's always been part of this work. But as we began to study and talk about the work of the Holy Spirit and kind of erase some of the fears of talking about Holy Spirit, and He began to, I believe, began doing this deepening work in many, many, many of you. And I believe part of what we're experiencing now with something's moving and something's changing is that we're learning the Holy Spirit wants to be at the heart of everything we do. And as we're letting Him do that, He's moving among us and He's changing us in these ways that are ultimately strengthening our foundation, strengthening our sense of purpose and mission. As we talked in our open door class this morning, we want people to not only when they walk in these doors, but let's put it this way, when they walk into your life, in whatever context that is, we want them to see something that they know they've been with Jesus. Something that my heart was stirring, not because of me or not because of you, but because of Jesus in you and Holy Spirit in you, that says, I see evidence all around. I want people to walk in here and see evidence all around. And I think that's happening. I think it's always happening, but I think it's happening in greater measure. People walking in and saying, what is it? It's our Savior. It's His Holy Spirit. And again, this isn't just pie in the sky. This isn't just about eternity in heaven. That's part of the equation. Thankfully, that's part of the equation. But this is power for living. This is power for being a vessel. That where you go, He's with you, not just for you. Not just for you, but for the people around you. That they look at you, Mo, and say, why are you so cheerful? Why do you have peace? Why do you have a joy? Why do you have a confidence? The world's going crazy. How can you have confidence? So I got this text from Bobby Cato yesterday. Well, we had a bit of a conversation. But this is the part that I said to him, well, that's relevant. He said, don't discount the potential of Holy Spirit in you. This is personal to everybody sitting in this room right now. Don't discount the power of Holy Spirit in you. And you may be sitting here saying, I don't do Holy Spirit. As Mo just said, he does you. Don't discount power of Holy Spirit in you. He has the same ability to impact the world as Jesus did in Mary's womb. Like her, we partner our faith with that. Don't discount power of Holy Spirit in you. And then this morning, I'm on Sean Dank's team for the 100 Days of Prayer. And here's what his prayer was, this part of his prayer was this morning. We're asking that the Holy Spirit fall on us during worship. Man can't orchestrate this stuff. Man cannot orchestrate what's moving and what's changing. The only question becomes is, do I want to move with him? Do I want to let him change me as he's doing this changing? Because he's always changing us in the process too. If we're willing and we're pliable and we're bowed down. Said at the beginning of the year, well, it's still the beginning of the year, sort of, but you're going to hear this over and over and over again. Everything that we're experiencing in every ministry and every encounter, women's retreat, guys gathering this weekend down in Rogers at Camp Frederick, whatever it is that we're doing, Wednesday classes, it doesn't matter what, we're going to look through the lens of we're walking into increase because he gave us this word and he means it. And he's doing it, is all he's asking of us is, walk with me. Walk with me. I'll do what you can't do, he says. I'll do what you can't do. I was sitting at that meeting. Some of the things we're talking about the meeting, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we've talked about that in our Men of Valor class. Oh my goodness, we've discussed that in our Men of Valor class. And it was just, I don't know, it was, again, it was this timeline going through my mind of, Lord, you know the beginning from the end. You know what you're doing. You know the plans that, when he says, I know the plans I have for you, he does. He does. He knows the plans he has for us in this body. And it is not for some small little thing. It is to affect many, many. We go to prayer. I want you to be a little bit circumspective. Consider, where am I in all of this? What do you want from me in all of this? Lord, I thank you that you are working in the hearts and the minds of people all across this region. I thank you for the things that you are stirring in the hearts and the minds and the lives of your people in this place right now. Lord, if there's something that you have brought to our attention that we need to throw off, by your power, I pray that we throw it off. If there's some obstacle blocking our walk of freedom, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll remove the obstacle. Mountains move. Mountains move. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are alive and you are well. And you are equipping and you are empowering, not for us to walk around as puffed up people, but as people who are bowed down, embracing all that you have, receiving your power, that we turn around and we worship you. And as we worship you, you say, let our worship be a weapon in your hand, because as that weapon is in your hand, you're the one who breaks the stronghold of addiction. You're the one that breaks the stronghold of affliction, of disease. You're the one that breaks the stronghold of sin. Lord, I pray that as we come to the table that is you, the table where you are present, the table that you set before us, that you'll be right there with us in the midst, and you'll be the one who is setting captives free. You'll be the one through us loving and caring and ministering all that you are. Stand. I was watching the news last night, and I don't know, there was some group in Youngstown that was gathering. I don't remember even the context, because what the one woman said was something to the order of, "I don't want us to just have another meeting. I want us to do something." Lord doesn't want us to just have another meeting.
Right.
That's why when I went to this meeting this week, it wasn't just another meeting. It wasn't just another meeting. It was the It was a gathering of hearts. Hearts that cry for Jesus. Hearts that cry for the lost and the broken. Hearts that want to come together. And this is what God's doing in us as a people. People. He's told us over and over again, I'm sending you more. I'm sending you more. I'm sending you the broken. I'm sending you the hurting. I'm sending you the lost. I'm sending you the confused. I'm sending you those who have been rejected. I'm sending you all manner. What will you do with them? What will you do with them? We're going to love them. We're going to serve them. We're going to take their grave clothes off. We're going to feed them. We're going to embrace them. If anybody needs, I don't know how anybody could still need prayer, but if you do, if you do, if you do, there's people here to pray.